In spirit and truth this morning, then the near close of a day of life that he's blessed us with, we have another opportunity that he's given to us that we can be gathered together with those of like precious faith and be able to worship him in spirit and truth. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that every one of you are here, especially those that are visiting. We had such a good meeting last week that I was encouraged every single day. And you end a gospel meeting and it's almost as though you're on a high, and then we just want to keep that zeal just going. So appreciate all the lessons that we heard, and then we anticipate another meeting starting next week with Johnny Edwards, and I know that those lessons will be beneficial to us. I know what the theme of the morning classes are going to be, and that's going to be, unless he changes it, God's final message unto man. And it sounds like a very good series of lessons from taken from the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. So I anticipate that series of lessons as well. Appreciate those that are visiting with us tonight. It's good to have you with us, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. Where do you go? I mentioned this morning there are some things that are really easier said than done. And sometimes we know what the Bible says, but then sometimes, for various reasons, it's more difficult to put it into action. Maybe because, as we mentioned in the Bible class this morning, we're just involved in so many other things that we've just allowed ourselves to get a little bit too much on the busy side, that we know what God says to do, but we've just involved ourselves in so many things that sometimes it's hard to do those things. When we know what the Scriptures say, that's the easy part of it. We know what it says. But the application of it can be difficult. And I'm persuaded that as we think about the question, where do you go, that this is another area. In Isaiah chapter 6, and Ron did just an exceptional job in reading those 13 verses, the entire chapter. Appreciate the good job that he did in reading that Scripture. Who will go? Isaiah says, Lord, send me. Sometimes we sing the hymn, Lord, send me. And we know that there is work that is to be done, but then sometimes we wonder who's going to go. And we look around and we think that the charge to go, the marching orders, is for everybody but us. I want us to think about tonight this question, where do you go? When God says to go, are you willing to go? And then I think about many examples in the Bible from the Old Testament and the New Testament where individuals were charged by the Lord to get up and go. They had their marching orders and they went. But then I think about how difficult that must have been. And had I been in their shoes, would I have went? When God said go, would I have had the strength? Would I have the determination? Would I have had the resolve to get up and do what God said to do when he said to do it, regardless of what was at stake, regardless of not even knowing how it was going to turn out? But would I have went? And there's a lot of examples that you could think about, and I've just got a few that I've put on the outline for us tonight. You could just add to this. But the first one that came to my mind is Abraham. When in Genesis chapter 12 that God said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And then he goes on to make that promise to him, I'll make of thee a great nation, I'll bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless him that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Would I have had the determination, if God would have told me that, to get up and go into a land that I'm going to show you? You get up and go away from your kindred and really from everything that's familiar unto you unto a land that I show thee. But Abraham was faithful in doing that. And we read that he was among the faithful that is listed in Hebrews chapter 11. So much so that the Bible says that these died in faith. Hebrews chapter 11 expresses so many that was faithful unto God, that they did what God said to do. But would you have got up from among your family and from among your kindred and everything familiar to you from your father's house and went to a land that you'd never been. You didn't know what awaited you, but all you knew is that God said that I will bless you if you do what I say for you to do. But then you get to Genesis chapter 22 for point number 2. And Abraham was told in verses 1 and 2 to sacrifice your only son. Take Isaac, thy only son, and sacrifice him to me. Would you have done that? Better be careful how you answer, by the way. And what I say to you, I say to me. I better be careful as to how I answer that. Sometimes, oh, I would have done that. Would you? We're going to make some application of all of this before the lesson closes. And how it applies to us and asking the question, would you go? Would you have went? Would you have sacrificed your son? Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. And Abraham was willing to do that. Genesis 22, 16 through 18. Now that I know that you would not have withholden your son from me. God says, I know you would have done it. Again, Genesis 22, 16 through 18. Would you have done that? Would I have done that? And the thing is, sometimes we read the Bible as though these people were not people like us. And yet they were people just like me, just like you. Who had emotions just like us. But many times didn't allow their emotions to stand in the way of doing what God would have them to do. And then I think about Moses. In Exodus 3. When God said, go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. At about the age of 80 years old. He went and told the king of Egypt, God said, let my people go. Would you have done that? And then sometimes we think as we get older that there's less work to be done. Not so. It really ought to be the older we get, the more that we're doing for the Lord. So far as we're physically able to do, because the sun is beginning to set. And we need to work while it's day, because the night cometh when no man can work, the Lord said. And so I hope, as I think about self, that the older I get, I hope that I'm able to do more and more. But we know that due to the faults and failing of the flesh, sometimes that's just not the way it turns out. But I sure hope that what I'm able to do, I can do it with even more boldness. Because I know that my time is coming to a close. And so determined was Moses to do what God said to do, that he went to Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go. And he did it uncompromising. Not willing to compromise. You know how I know that? Because when he said that we're going to go and we're going to sacrifice, the king of Egypt said, go ahead, but you can't take everything with you. And you know what Moses said to the king of Egypt? One phrase that is recorded in Exodus 10 verse 26 that showed that Moses had an uncompromising spirit and attitude as he was going to serve the Lord. Years ago, I was given this assignment from this phrase, and it just stuck with me to preach on this phrase, not a hoof left behind. Think about that. So uncompromising that Moses said, not so. We're going to take what we need to do. Everything's going to go. Not a hoof is going to be left behind. And today, among God's people, so many times there are people who want to compromise with what God says. Okay, I'll bargain with you. If you just give in this area, then I'll give in that area, and we'll just agree to go along to get along. Not so. Not so. That's not unity anyway. Unity is only obtained when we stand squarely upon what the Bible says, and we speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 is the basis of that. There be no divisions among you, but that you speak the same thing, be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That will only happen when we walk according to the same rule. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 16. Nevertheless, whereunto I have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. But would you have went with an uncompromising attitude? But then I think about, as I think about, would you go? And really, I'm putting myself there. Would I go? Here am I, send me. Would I have went to Saul and rebuked him because he was disobedient to the voice of the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 15. God said, you destroy all the Amalekites. And Saul perhaps thought that he did what God said to do. We've spared Agag and the best of the ox and the sheep and so forth. And not so. He was disobedient to the voice of the Lord. Now there's a lesson in that for us today. Because we think sometimes that we've got it better figured out for God. But when God says to do something, He expects it to be done as He said to do it. Without addition, without subtraction, and without substitution. A lot of passages that would back that up. Don't depart to the left hand or the right hand, Deuteronomy 4:2. Don't add and take away from God's Word, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Don't substitute for it as the two boys of Aaron learned the hard way, Leviticus chapter 10. Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Proverbs 30 and in verse 6. We better do what God says to do, the way God said to do it, each and every time. Do you think that's important? Now, what are we doing here today? It's the Lord's Day. We're gathered together as a household of God, 1 Timothy 3:15, to do what God says to do in the way that God said to do it. Is it okay to add to, maybe we'll just add to the worship service. Is that okay, Ray? Ray says no. Blaine says no. Brenda shook her head no. All around the room, we'd all probably agree. Nope, that's not right. We cannot add to what God says to do. And so upon the first day of the week, we come together and we sing praise unto God and we lay by in store and we remember the Lord's death by partaking the Lord's Supper. We give of our means and the gospel is preached and all of that with biblical authority and we dare not add to it. But a lot of people today is gathered and they're not even doing that. Or they're doing more than that. Things that you don't even read about in the Bible. Whatsoever we do in word or in deed, let all must be done by the authority of Christ. That is in His name, Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 17. So 1 Samuel 15 teaches that everything God says to do must be done, else it's disobedience, regardless of the intent. No excuses. Absolutely no excuses. Would I have went in 2 Samuel 12 and in verse 7? As Nathan went to David and said in that verse, thou art the man. Would you have rebuked a king of Israel? Would you? Would you have stood as Nathan did and given the little illustration about the man that had a lamb that was precious to him? And then made that application and said, thou art the man. Here's a point that I learned from that I think about. When I think about our present time, I've had gospel preachers who have told me, don't call out denominations by name. Why not just preach what the Bible teaches about a point and just, well, if the wheel goes around and the shoe fits, then they'll be forced to wear it. I don't buy into that. Because for this reason, there are some people who have to have help with the shoe fitting. They won't get the point because they see the sermon for everybody but self. When you talk about denominationalism, we've heard a lot of lessons about it last week, lessons that I wholeheartedly appreciate. But I tell you also, before I go on with what I was saying, hopefully I won't forget where I was going. Why it's important for us to see those lessons is not for everybody else. I mean, it helped us be in a better position to teach other people and to understand maybe what they believe so we can help them better see the truth. But here's another reason why it's important for us to hear lessons like that, because we don't want to go down that road. And a lot of congregations of God's people are not standing today where they used to stand. As for the old paths, where in his right way. And a lot of places have digressed and they're no longer standing in the light of God's Word. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 teaches that lesson. Repent from whence thou art fallen, or else I will come unto thee and remove thy candlestick out of its place quickly, God stated. And so lest we think, well, it's for everybody else, and we certainly will never, that it never happened to us. Well, it will if we don't stand on what God says. And so we need to use instances like that to help ourselves. But would you had rebuked David when it came to that wrongdoing? David was referred to as a sweet psalmist of Israel. A man that was after God's own heart. And a man that cried out to the Lord and as expressed in the 51st Psalm. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this wrong. There was a point I was going to make about that. I said, lest I forgot. And I'm telling you, 5 seconds later, I forgot. Nonetheless, number 6. Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar. I think about the hymns we sing. Lord, send me. Oh, how I love Jesus. All the while, if you love me, keep my commandments, Lord said. In John 14:15. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Luke 6 and then verse 46. Hear am I, send me. More about Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And then sometimes we are guilty to not doing what God said to do. But then we come and we sing the very words of these hymns on how we ought to be doing those things. But then in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about a tree whose height reached unto heaven, and the birds and so forth, and the beasts lodged in. And he saw that it was to be cut down, but to let the stump remain. But he didn't understand what it meant. And Daniel expressed unto him, Daniel interpreted that dream unto him. Your kingdom is going to be taken from you until you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Daniel chapter 4. But David specifically said unto Nebuchadnezzar, now, O king, break off thy sins by righteousness. Would you have told a king, the king of Babylon, would you have expressed that word to him, that message to him? Break off thy sins by righteousness. In other words, you have sinned, you have sinned. They need to be cut off, broken off by doing that which is right in the sight of God. Would I have expressed that to him? But then I think about in the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, a man by the name of John who went to Herod and said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. Would you have told an individual, it's not lawful for you to be in the relationship that you are? Oh, well, they won't hear it. They won't listen to me. Well, they just might not do it. I don't know whether or not in years to come Herod did anything about his relationship. I don't know. But the servant of God stood and told him what he needed to hear. And there are people today in marriages and relationships of which they have no business being in. And God says you have no right to do it. And many times people won't. And I've studied with people and it's heartbreaking. Years and years ago, before I moved to Laurel County, I was invited to do a home Bible study with a couple. They saw the point. They had no right to be together, but children were involved, and they would not obey the gospel. And that's happened since. But would you go? Had you been John, that's what I'm asking. Would you go? And I'm not of the persuasion of the point I was going to make earlier about the denomination, calling denominations by name. We don't do that from the standpoint of I want to make somebody mad. I don't know if there's ever been a time in my life that I've enjoyed confrontation. I just don't like it. I don't like being involved in it, but sometimes it is necessary that you've got to be confrontational. Sometimes, here's the point I was making about that. Some people will not see the point. They'll see the sermon for everybody but themselves. That's why I use 1 Corinthians 1:10 about the division. Because folks say, oh, no, you're not to be divided. God doesn't stand for division. We all should just be unified. But then they're writing a denomination which is division. They're divided from other people on the basis of what they believe. And so they see it for everybody but themselves. And they walk away and say, man, I wish my neighbor was here to have heard that lesson. Well, you're no better off than your neighbor is when you're in a denomination like your neighbor. And that can happen to us as well. We can be divided too. And sometimes as a result of the way that God's people have been, folks in the world will say, you folks talk about unity and you are as divided as other people. You got people across town that you won't even talk to. You won't even go and have anything to do with them. Well, we want to teach as much as we can. Now, there are folks we won't have fellowship with. And it's on the basis of they're not walking in the light as God is in the light. We can have no fellowship with that. 1 John chapter 1. I know so because in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 19 he says, have no fellowship, or chapter 5 verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And so no, we're not about to go along to get along. That's not unity. That's fellowship where we ought not have fellowship. That doesn't mean that we don't care about other people. And we're not, and that we're not willing to talk, because we are. And we're willing to have a Bible talk and a Bible discussion and talk about those things. But then I think about Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Would I have been willing to stand as he stood to try to teach his brethren according to the flesh the truth? Would you? Well, they rejected it. Then would I have been as bold as Stephen when he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the truth, as resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do ye. Oh, when they heard that, the Bible says they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on with their teeth. They took stones and they killed him. And then in all of that, Stephen had the right attitude. Here's the last words of a dying man make a good sermon. When God's servants uttered their last words, the words of dying servants of God, and include Christ when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then you have the words of Stephen, Father, I pray that this be not laid to their charge. And then you have the words in a similar way of Paul. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God it did not be laid to their charge. Yet the Lord stood with me and delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. And he said, the Lord will deliver me out of every evil work, and I will be preserved into his heavenly kingdom. Think about the resolve to stand and to speak when it's necessary to speak. And if it costs us our life, to die with the right attitude. And the lessons learned. Stephen in Acts chapter 7. But then I think about the apostles in all the world. As was read this morning, so in such a good way, from Matthew 28 and Mark 16. When Jesus said, all power and authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And he's talking to the apostles. That was the marching orders for the apostles. Go ye therefore. And the ye is the apostles. That's the context of it. Now that doesn't mean that we don't have marching orders to teach others. We do. But the context of that is the apostles. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And a parallel to that in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirmed the word with signs following. Verse 20. And they went. And we've studied that for nearly 2 years. January of last year we started the book of Acts and we finished it this morning. And all through the book of Acts, we saw the apostles at work. going and teaching the gospel just as the Lord commanded them to do. You'll be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And boy, did they go. Now that, they didn't have it easy. Paul didn't have it easy either, but they went. And I always remind myself when I think about going into all the world that at least two times in the first chapter of the book of Colossians, Paul said it was preached to every creature under heaven whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And that didn't happen by accident. And it didn't happen overnight. But it took determination. It took zeal. It took resolve. It took boldness. It took the attitude, here am I, send me. I'll go. I'll go. And they went. So by way of invitation, when God invites you to come, all of these, go, go, go. Even Jonah, go. I didn't include him on the list, but you could. And there's others you could put on the list. When God told Jonah, go and you preach a bidding that I... priest of preaching rather that I bid thee, if, though reluctant at first, eventually went. And then I think about Ezekiel, and he says, I'm sending you not to a people of a strange land, but they're hard-hearted. Their head is hard. But you be determined, God is telling Ezekiel, you be determined to preach it as hard as they are to reject it. And you preach the word. Your people. And Paul was busy about preaching. His zeal and determination to try to teach his countrymen, he expressed that in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans when he said in verses 1 and 2, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to righteousness. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. He was concerned about them and tried to teach them. We saw that in the closing chapter of the book of Acts. So I will teach the Gentiles and know here. Because the Jews rejected it. Will you come? It'll do no good. It will absolutely do no good to be sitting in the pew tonight and say, oh, preacher, I'd go at the bidding of the Lord. I sure would have went. And the Lord says, come, and you're sitting here not a Christian, and you won't even get up 10 feet and walk to the front to obey the gospel. If you won't get up and walk 10 feet to obey the gospel of the Lord and become a Christian, there's no way you would have done any of this going. Well, that's the ones here not a Christian tonight. What about those who are Christians? I'm glad you're here tonight, but I'm just saying, it'd do me no good to say, oh, I would have went, I sure would have went, when I won't even go across the street and invite somebody to come to service. When I won't even have any desire to teach my co-worker, any desire to teach my neighbor, any desire to teach my family, much less get up and go to the house of the Lord, people of God, and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Folks today find that too hard, but y'all, I'll go. And then here we are. Folks don't come to the meetings when we have them. Don't come to the Bible class when we have it. Don't come to the morning service. Don't come to the evening service. And I'm not harping. I'm just admonishing all of us to do what God says to do. And put our money where our mouth is. Right? Paul said, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself will be cast away. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Let's practice what we preach, and what I say to you, it begins with me. Agree? But should you be here tonight, not a Christian? Preacher, what must I do to be saved? Exactly what they did in the New Testament to be saved. Nothing more, nothing less. When we do what they did, we'll be what they became. Just a Christian. Here in the Gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, John 8:24, repenting of our sins, repent and be converted. Acts 3 and then verse 19. Confess our faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8 and in verse 37. And be baptized in water, where the blood, not the water, the blood of Christ will wash away every sin you've ever committed. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Have been added by the Lord Himself to the church of Christ, the one body of the New Testament. Acts 2:47. But maybe you're here tonight and you have done that, but you realize that you've not been faithful. And you want to come home. You want to be restored. And start anew. God's blessed you with an opportunity. Don't spurn it. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. Acts 8 and 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.